There's more to keep track of in our world at this moment than ever before. You can count on NPR and KMUW to keep you up to date with the latest on local, state, and national politics, community events, public hearings, education news, all coverage that only happens with the support of listeners like you. Please support that coverage online at KMUW.org.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, March 24th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Carla Eccles takes us behind the scenes of a new Ballet Wichita production honoring the legacy of the 1958 Dockham sit-in. We'll hear about the show called Breaking Barriers after the news. A Kansas plan that would move up several key election deadlines faces opposition from voting rights advocates and some state officials. The proposal would require voters with new registration information to register 25 days before Election Day and to request mail-in ballots no later than 12 days in advance. The changes would move up the last day of early voting to the Sunday before Election Day instead of Monday. Melissa Styler is the director of Loud Light Advocacy. Styler says the deadline changes could force college students to vote in their college towns, not their hometowns.
The grand majority of them don't want to vote in Lawrence. They want to vote in Dodge City or Liberal or wherever, which requires them to vote by mail.
The Kansas Secretary of State's office prefers any voting changes wait until after this year's election. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and Kansas state officials are scrambling to clean up a diesel spill in Tuttle Creek Lake after a fuel cell sank earlier last week. Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports.
An underwater dredging project is clearing out sediment and allowing for more water storage in the lake that provides drinking water for hundreds of thousands of people. But a commercial barge fuel tank holding approximately 1,800 gallons of diesel fuel recently became submerged in 20 feet of water due to high winds. After the tank was recovered, diesel fuel was found spilled into a contained area. Kansas officials will conduct comprehensive water quality sampling and monitoring. Now cleanup and restoration processes are underway. Tuttle Creek Cove remains closed to the public until further notice. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
Some plants are leafing out earlier than usual across the Great Plains and Midwest this spring. Harvest Public Media's Celia Yopis-Jepson reports.
The USA National Phenology Network tracks spring each year by looking at weather that prompts the earliest leaves to appear on bushes. It focuses on lilacs and honeysuckles, which are among the first each year to leaf out. Leaves unfurled more than a week ahead of normal in January in southern Texas. After some cold snaps, the early leaf out continued into Oklahoma. Now it's happening in parts of Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota 2 weeks early, in some places more than 3 weeks early. Climate Central, a nonprofit focused on climate change, says leaf out has gotten earlier in recent decades in much of the country, which could make allergies worse. I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson, Harvest Public Media.
The president of Bethel College is resigning. John C. Gehring has served more than 8 years in the top post at the private four-year liberal arts college in North Newton. He will leave his position at the end of June. Gehring did not give a specific reason for his resignation. In a statement yesterday, he said he thinks it would, quote, benefit both me and our community to have a new leader with different skills, perspectives, and sensibilities. The University of Kansas Jayhawks men's basketball season ended Sunday night after a 67-65 loss against St. John's. The season finale also fuels speculation about the future of Bill Self's coaching career, Greg Eklund reports.
It can be called a disjointed season. Early in the year, KU's star player Darren Peterson was in and out of the lineup with leg issues. Then Coach Bill Self missed a game to deal with health issues. He says he'll discuss his coaching future with those close to him.
Get with family and visit and see what's going on. I love what I do. I need to be able to do it where I'm feeling good and healthy to do it, fairly well.
Since winning the second national championship under Self in 2022, the Jayhawks have not been able to advance to the second weekend of the tournament for 4 years in a row. I'm Greg Eklund.
The Kansas Department of Transportation has opened one lane of northbound Interstate 135 in North Wichita following a train derailment that damaged two bridge pillars. I-135 is restricted to the inside left lane over the rail yard near eastbound K-96 as inspectors continue to assess damage to the bridge. There's no word on when that bridge will fully reopen. Two columns supporting the bridge were damaged during the train derailment Saturday. Drivers should be prepared for lane restrictions and possible delays in the area. The Wichita Police Department will give city leaders a rundown of technology used by the department during a city council workshop today. The presentation will review how police use drones, gunshot detection systems, and license plate readers, along with other technology. The department is asking city leaders to approve a $650,000 funding request to buy two robotic dogs. Police leaders told the city council earlier this month that they want to use the dogs as part of the department's SWAT team and bomb squad. We'll be back after this.
KMUW's next literary feast is Wednesday, March 25th at 6 p.m. We'll discuss Kin by Tayari Jones. Dinner is provided by public, and participants are invited to bring a beverage to share. Tickets are $15, available at kmuw.org. Literary Feast is made possible by The Spice Merchant, a founding sponsor of the Arts and Culture Fund.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. A contemporary ballet premieres next week that doesn't include tutus and ballet slippers. Ballet Wichita's Breaking Barriers is one of two works being staged that shine a light on Wichita history. This one's inspired by the 1958 Dockham sit-in. KMUW's Carla Eccles takes us to a rehearsal with New York choreographer Usha Marie Sorzano and some of the dancers.
Chain the plie. Breath. Nice, Mackenzie.
Usha loves to teach.
Trust the down. Up.
She keeps a keen eye on the dancers.
Breathe. Spacing. Fingertips.
She's a former choreographer and performer with the Alvin Ailey Dance Theater and seven other dance companies. She's taught internationally as well as in the States.
Breathe. I'll take that. That was pretty good.
When she got the call, Usha was intrigued by the Dockham sit-in and began her research.
There's a certain amount of reverence that I want to invoke. There's a certain amount of sacred celebration. And I think that's where I'm landing with where the ballet is finding its feet. This is an honoring of something that should be honored.
Should be honored. The Dockham Drugstore sit-in was one of the first successful lunch counter protests in the United States. It took place in Wichita in 1958, where young black students protested segregation and won the right to be served.
The fact that these young dancers are starting to understand who Carole Parks Hahn was, who Ron Walters was, who the people were, is really at the heart of it the most important thing. And I hope at the end of the day, the dancers can walk away feeling growth as performers, you know, and as students of the art form. But more than anything, feeling like there's a bit of a moral calling that, you know, writes the way of their compass and guides them towards what they were fighting for. Inclusivity, treating others as you would want to be treated, dignity and respect.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's so wonderful to dance something that's, I'm not saying no other dance is meaningful, but this is particularly meaningful, especially to me as a woman of color.
20-year-old Sean Gordon has been dancing since she was three. She's a sophomore at Wichita State.
I've never seen a piece done like this in a celebratory way, and so being able to watch and be a part of this, I'm still speechless. Every time I drive here and walk in, I'm like, wow, I cannot believe that I'm a part of this and being able to use what I love to express it to other people.
I think it's really special to be able to mix different styles of dance to communicate something.
Isabel Johnson is a University of Kansas student. She's been dancing for 10 years. She's 20.
So I think it's really special that it's not just ballet or contemporary or modern. And I think the movement quality that we have in this piece specifically really helps send the message that we're trying to send. And just show it in a much more embodied way. So I just wanted to be a part of that.
26-year-old Garth Carvey Jr. has danced since he was 16. He's an intern at Ballet Wichita, a junior at Wichita State, and started his first year in their dance program. He says he wanted to dance to amplify the Dock'em sit-in he recently learned about.
Like, before I moved here, I didn't know what it was. So I need to, like, use what I can do to amplify the voice of what happened so that more people can be aware of it. It's not a divisive story. It's a story about community and coming together to change things and just like realizing that the undertones of this is similar to what's happening now in the world. And back then it was like, they just wanted to sit down and eat. Like, it's such a mind-blowing thing to think about that you couldn't just go to a restaurant and sit down to eat, and how they had to work so hard to get very, very basic rights.
It reminds me, so my great-grandmother is still alive.
Dancer Lena Castro is a junior at Wichita State.
And so I had recently called her and just kind of filling her in my life, and she was like, yeah, I remember when things were segregated, like, oh, we couldn't sit at the same lunch counter, and I was like, that's insane, because I just got into this piece about the Dock'em sit-in, and like, where she was like, yeah, I was alive for that. Like, you have to remember to hold yourself with pride, because there will always be people and things outside of you that will try and get you down. But it's important to rely, one, on your community, and two, on your own self-pride and preservation in order to overcome these things.
Let's get out of our backs, belly button to spine. Nice, Evie.
The discipline of dance really shapes a powerful human being.
Choreographer Usha Marie Sorzano.
It comes down to taking that risk and putting yourself out there. That takes a lot of bravery. And so I think that to create some sense of tension or some sense of reverence for that bravery is really what I want the audience to take away. And to take home the breadcrumbs and the facts that will be enlivening the space before, that they will look around at their Wichita and remember.
For KMEW News, I'm Carla Eccles.
Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you've personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.